It's Magic Out the Movies. I'm Jamie Edwards, and I am delighted to be welcoming, on the phone line now, Dick Jones. Now, if the name doesn't ring a bell straight away, you certainly will recognise the voice. He is Pinocchio!
I don't sound like Pinocchio today.
Hey, listen, how are you?
I'm just fine. If I was any better, I couldn't handle it.
Yeah, and the reason I'm speaking to you is because, unbelievably, we're going to be celebrating a rather big anniversary for Pinocchio.
That's what I understand. It was, 70 years.
I can't believe it. 1940, this film was first out.
Yeah.
That is just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, do you mind if I ask you now, how old are you now?
82
years old. So
that
would have made you, my maths is so great, that would have made you 12 years old.
That's when I was 12 when we finished it. I started when I was 10. We were on it 18 months. I didn't work constantly those 18 months because they let me go do other pictures elsewhere when they were busy doing the animation, and they didn't need me there for the voice.
And what was the process like back then?
The process. First they came up with the idea. They drew it out as like a storybook, like you would the comic. Comic pages in a newspaper or a comic book, and then they wrote the script for the words for the actors to read and act on, and then the animators would draw the action.
So it's pretty similar to how it's done now.
Well, yes, it hasn't changed other than the fact that they got away from the hand-drawn frame-by-frame-by-frame celluloid pictures. They computerized it, and now they're going to go back to the hand-drawn because the computerized animation is flat, and it doesn't have real life to it. But I understand that Disney is doing another animated movie completely hand-drawn, and it's going to have all the life in it.
That's fantastic, because that's actually what I miss about some of the sort of more recent films. All the computer technology, you know, it might well be there, but it's actually the love and care of the artist that bring it out from the paper.
Right.
And you were also the model for the artist as well. You know, you'd sit there and they would model you. How bizarre was it to sort of see your image in cartoon form?
I wasn't the model for Pinocchio. We just did live action for the animator so they could get the drawings to look real.
Oh, there's me thinking that they were there sort of sticking, you know, big twigs to your nose and stuff.
No, I didn't model that part. My nose wasn't anything like Pinocchio's. It was just the action, like they got stymied on the dance routine that we did when Honest John led Pinocchio off down the road from school saying, "Hi, diddly-dee, an actor's life for me." And the three of us did a little waltz clog down this cobblestone road. Well, they built the set just like it was in the movie, and then they dressed us up in costume, and we acted it out, and the animators used that for the different actions on the movement of the legs and the arms and hands and stuff like that. And they were always filming our nose, mouth, and chin. They'd use a little 8mm camera and be up real close when we were reading the script. And they would just photograph of the movement of the mouth and the nose and the chin, because those three elements of your face depict what word you're saying or were formed by the word that you said. So they got that detail down.
I love the fact that you mentioned there, "Hi Diddly D." That's actually one of my favourite Disney songs, pretty much because I always wanted to be an actor, so I just go around when I was younger singing "Hi Diddly D," an actor's life for me. You know, it was great. I loved it. And you got to sing that. And Pinocchio's actually got some of the most well-loved songs as well. I mean, "When You Wish Upon a Star" became the signature theme.
Oh, yeah, and then that's still a classic. But no one can sing it like Cliff Edwards did. He still got the best version of it.
Yes, yeah. Actually, in fact, recently I did an interview with the Donald Duck, who did attempt to sing that, but it didn't quite come off.
More like Affleck.
Yeah, very much. Yeah, I hear this, that you're actually a pretty good Donald Duck impersonator.
No, I did it way back then, but I can't do it now. Yes, that's pretty good.
That's about all I can do. obviously, you know, working all the way back then, you would have been working with Walt himself.
Yes, he was present at every time I was up to the microphone. I don't know why. I guess it was because I was his baby, so to speak. Well, the one thing is that Walt Disney believed in the chain of command. He was the boss, and he had people that he hired to do other jobs, like he hired a director to direct the actors, and the actors worked for the director. But Walt was always there making sure that the director got what he was looking for. And we as actors were in the sound stage looking at the director and Walt Disney in the control booth. And after we finished a segment, we'd stare at the control booth and watch the director and Walt converse. And if Walt is nodding his head and smiling, we know that it's a go, it's a print. But if he's shaking his head and frowning, we know that we're going to do it again.
And he had great vision.
He was one heck of a pushpin dart thrower.
Really?
Oh, yeah. After we'd finish a scene and work on the next segment of it, we'd work off the storyboard, which is a big celluloid-like board that you could pin up the drawings on, and we'd work off that instead of a script. And then after that, we'd take one of the pictures and put an X on somebody's nose or a character's nose, and then we'd throw the darts at it. But he was always winning because he was much better than anybody else around.
I hope that was Stromboli. You can't do it to anybody else. Don't tell me that he started throwing darts at Figaro. That would ruin everything for me.
No. Stromboli would. Then the coachman. Those two. I guess they were the heavies in Pinocchio. But no, we didn't pick up any particular one to throw darts at. One that we could aim at.
Tell you what, if only you'd known then what you know now, you'd never have put those holes into those paper. You'd have kept hold of them. And...
yeah.
I tell you, I mean, some of those original prints must be worth an absolute fortune now. And it's testament, really, to Disney. You know, it's lasted this long and is still as great as ever. I mean, I saw Bolt the other day, and I personally think that's Disney back on form. It's a fantastic film. Have you had a chance to see that yet?
Nope. I never did like Buck Rogers in the Funny Papers. I didn't like Flash Gordon. My imagination doesn't run that wild. I don't like science fiction. I either like a swashbuckler or a western, or
you're a true Texan, aren't you?
yeah.
And I guess you after doing Pinocchio, you went on to do quite a few westerns.
Well, I was doing westerns while I was doing Pinocchio. I did 6 pictures while I was working on Pinocchio. One of them was Death Street Rides Again with Jimmy Stewart. And I did a couple of small B westerns, but that's why I got into movies, because my ability to handle a horse and ride, they didn't have to double me.
They must have loved you for that, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
Now listen, I recently had the pleasure of speaking with Mary Costa. Of course, the voice of Sleeping Beauty. And she was just sort of telling me some stories about, you know, when she was on a table and she sat there with the lady that played Wendy and the lady that played Maleficent. You know, I've just sort of got this vision of all you Disney actors just hanging around together. Did you keep in touch with people?
No, not really. I only get together with maybe one or two of them. Whoever goes to the Legends luncheons, they have a Legend deal that the... The big Walt Disney fan club has one down at a hotel down in Disneyland, and they have that once a year. And there might be 2 or 3 people that were actors and come to the luncheon. And then when they have the annual dedication of the new legends, as many of them as they can get, come to that one. So that's about the only time I get together with them.
Who would be a new legend?
This latest one, there was a half a dozen of them, and the only one I can remember is Barbara Walters from the radio show, and Frank Gifford. The two latest that I know of. But that's the only time we get together.
Well, I tell you what, Dick, you are an absolute legend. You certainly deserve your place there. And Pinocchio, I think I said this earlier on, it is actually one of my favourite Disney films. I loved it when I was growing up. I'm really looking forward to actually seeing what they've done with the DVD now, because it's digitally remastered. You know, it's going to have all the effects, you know, you can possibly put onto it. But at the same time, it's still got that love and care that the animators put into it originally.
The re-release, the one they've got now, is coming out with just is awesome. The colors are bright and shiny, and the sound is like surround sound. And I just run out of words when I try to describe it, because they showed us the old, and then they knew the new right alongside of it, and different as day and night. This new one is great.
Well, I'm totally looking forward to actually seeing it. And we're going to be giving away a couple of copies on the website as well. So if you are listening to this, just have a look down at the bit underneath where the interview is, and hopefully you'll be able to win yourself a copy as well. Listen, Dick, I'm afraid I'm going to have to leave it, because you've got to go. But I could talk to you all night. You know, it's an absolute pleasure.
No, you
pleasure.
Couldn't, because I'd run out of words.
Brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I guess as Walt once said, if you can dream it, you can do it. So, well done on this.
Thank you very much.